Ed joins us every month. Welcome back, Ed.
Well, good morning.
So it's beaconpestcontrol.com. How are pests around this time of year for you folks that, you know them so well?
Well, we're still experiencing, we're still experiencing a lot of wet weather, so we're not really into the spring cycle yet, but we're always on the lookout for things that can cause problems, and moisture is the number one issue that we deal with in Washington State because of the decay and the insects that it supports. So we're still doing a lot of inspections on homes to you know, attempt to get early detection and help folks stay ahead of the damage.
Okay, so can we talk about, like, what you look for?
Sure. You know, it's, we do perform, I'd say 500-600 inspections a year. And the first thing that we look for, when we get out of the truck and after we announce ourselves to the homeowner is we take a look at the soil slope immediately surrounding the house, because, you know, the soil, for what it's worth, will only drain so fast and it'll only accept so much water. So, once we get a nice heavy rain, the water's got to go somewhere. And so if you've got a soil slope that leans towards the house, it's going to direct water back towards the house. And of course, once it gets into the, up against the foundation and the outside of the building, then it'll start to penetrate into the crawl space area, and you can actually end up with standing water. You can also end up with, especially at the beach because of the sandy soil, you can end up with the sand being undermined out from underneath of the foundation footing, and at that point then animals can get into the crawl space, and the moisture, the extra moisture that's there as a result of the water standing in the crawl space, increases the likelihood of things like wood boring beetles and carpenter ant activity. So, making sure that the soil grade around the outside of your home is sloped away from the foundation, that's an important issue. Sometimes contractors, when they regrade when they put the final grade on the premises, it's not always possible because of existing slopes on adjacent properties and immediately surrounding the house to get a really good grade. So there are techniques for moving water across the surface of the soil. Generally speaking, you want to see a slope away from the foundation of the house in order to keep that water from accumulating against the foundation. So that's kind of the very first thing that we look at when we get out of the truck. Next on the list is the driveway. Your contractors, when they install concrete driveways, and even gravel driveways for that matter, they have to work with the existing grade in order to kind of make the house fit into the environment that it's in. And sometimes they end up with grades that are uphill. And the difficulty there is that you often wind up with concrete that's poured in a manner that allows the water to run right up the driveway and into the garage door. We find that quite frequently. There are techniques for managing that. There are drain grates and such that can be installed to catch the water before it gets through the threshold of the garage. They're a little spendy, and folks don't like to spend the money on them, but they're an effective way of trapping the water before it makes its way into, under the garage door and into the garage. So that's kind of the next element that we look at and make sure that the driveway isn't actually directing water into the house. There are techniques for changing the grade on a driveway, but if it's actually directing water into the garage door, then we usually advocate that they have a contractor install a drain grate across the threshold to pick that water up first.
Do you see that often?
We see it often enough. The vast majority of contractors are, and just for the record, we're not contractors. We're observers. So, the vast majority of contractors are conscientious and capable, but, we get folks that come to Grays Harbor from outside of our area and they're not familiar with the environment that we're in. And so they sometimes make mistakes. We also have, a certain number of unlicensed contractors that are, they're functioning out there. And, sometimes homeowners, in order to save a little money, will hire one of these guys, and they're just not up to speed on what it takes to protect the house.
Okay. Do you have, and I know this isn't necessarily what you do, but do you have like advice on how to find a legit, how do I know one's legit, like a contractor?
Actually, the state of Washington has a website, and I can't think of what it is right this second, but they run a website to help you find licensed contractors in Washington State. You can find out very quickly whether or not your contractor is licensed. Okay. And what kind of license they have. So that's probably your best first line of defense for making sure that that you've got a licensed contractor. Of course, you have to ask. It helps if you ask your contractor what his license number is, and then you can check it directly against the state's website.
All right. Great. Let's take a break. It's 8:15, and if you have any questions for Ed at Beacon Pest Control, you can call us at 360-533-5259. You can email or text message johnny@jodesha.com for local matters.
This year, wouldn't it be great to stop dealing with thin, brittle, shedding hair and instead have the thick, healthy, gorgeous hair you've always wanted? Now you can by using Hair Volume from New Nordic. Look for Hair Volume at your local Walgreens and CVS or online at Amazon.com or NewNordicUSA.com.
Navage provides quick, drug-free nasal relief this time of year when everyone is sick. Navage helps by sucking out germs, bacteria, and viruses trapped in our noses that cause us to feel miserable. And come allergy season, it does the same with dust, pollen, and other allergens. And unlike medications that can take time to help, Navage helps treat congestion symptoms in seconds flat. Ask for Navage at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Target, or find us online at Navage.com. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
Nachos!
Hey, I'll take some.
And some Frank's Red Hot.
Nah.
You're just going to eat these boring nachos with no flavor. Frank it up! Frank it up! This guy finally gets it.
It's the perfect blend of flavor and heat. Frank's Red Hot. I put that on everything.
There's a lot happening at Lucky Eagle Casino and Hotel. Come check out our new sports book at Legends Sports Bar, featuring a state-of-the-art self-serve beer wall, stadium-style menu, and, of course, sports betting. Or, if you're looking for something a little more intimate, look no further than the newly reopened Room 188 Steakhouse. It's the South Town's perfect date night. Learn more at LuckyEagle.com.
Lucky Eagle.
So you know, when you finally propose to her, it might go exactly as you planned. To the word, the moment, everything. On the other hand, you might be so nervous that you stammer, trying to get the words out. I'm John Stulick from Stulick Jewelry. And you know, if you do stammer, if you do find it hard to say, will you marry me? Here's what that means. You got the right one, baby. And since her diamond is from Stulick Jewelry, all that rehearsing and preparation are nice. But really, the only thing you need to do is open the lid. And if you say nothing at all, or the words flow out in perfection, or you find yourself stuttering like crazy, you're going to hear the only word that matters. Yes. Stulick Jewelry, downtown Aberdeen. And we buy your gold. You got the right one, baby.
Are you young and sleepy? Then come to Lullaby Lounge, where we're putting the Z's in Gen Z.
I can hang out with friends and still get plenty of sleep.
Come experience the ambient ambience of our white noise room. Featuring the hottest ASMR DJs spinning the most relaxing soundscapes. Join the bedtime bash with the sleepiest generation.
Now I wear PJs to the grocery store and the club.
And half-off weighted blanket Wednesdays with melatonin bottle service.
You'll bed rot and hurkle-durkle all night long.
Lullaby Lounge, Gen Z's biggest pajama party. Pajama party. Pajama party.
All right, we're talking with Ed from Beacon Pest Control. He's helping us out. You doing okay, man?
Yeah.
Good, good. We just want you to be happy, my friend.
Well, yeah, that's parody's a little spot on.
Okay, so we were at, Pathways?
Yes, so... One of the things that happens quite often is, you know, we put these driveways in and there's usually a concrete walkway that goes, up to the front door and the concrete doesn't start at the foundation and then slope away from the house. Quite often there's a flower bed there. And if the contractor chooses to direct a downspout into that area, it's literally trapped against the foundation where it can't go anywhere. So even when they put these, in-ground downspout drains in, quite often the water will still undermine the footing and show up inside the crawl space because it can't get past the concrete sidewalk. So, that is one of the things that we look for is if there's been a downspout directed into that area, then you want to have modifications made to ensure that the water is not being deposited right there in that space, where the flower bed's at.
All right.
That goes for driveways too, driveways and walkways. Some of the other things that we find are patios. It's real nice to have a barbecue area on the back of the house, but if the foundation work for the patio isn't done correctly, it'll actually be sloping back towards the house and you'll get puddles and such that direct water against the foundation. And that's problematic also. So we advise folks about that. When we do our reports, they're actually written reports with some recommendations based on what it is that we find, because there's a lot of different elements that can occur in there. But if they're not carrying the water away from the house, then we want folks to know to make some changes there so that they're not causing their own damage. We also find that, as I said, folks like to put the flower beds right up against the house. It's attractive, but if the vegetation that's put in those flower beds isn't low-lying, then sometimes you get these bushes and shrubs that forget that they're not supposed to become trees. And the next thing you know, you've got rodents being able to make access to the roof and raccoons getting on the roof and that sort of thing. So those are elements that we want to make sure folks are aware not to forget that these plants, while they start out as shrubs, they forget they're not supposed to be trees. And so if they're not pruned and maintained on a regular basis, then they get out of hand in as little as a season. So those things add up. And some of the other things that we encounter are lawn sprinklers. Folks will put sprinkler systems in to maintain their lawns and to keep their flower beds from drying out. But if they're not maintained regularly, then you have water that gets directed against the building when the sprinkler system's in use. And that can do every bit as much damage as when you have a faulty grade. So we keep an eye out for those also. The one area that we focus a lot of it on, and I want to reiterate, we're not general contractors, so neither are we roofing contractors. But there's a lot of things that can go wrong with the roofing system that are obvious, and that's what we report on is the obvious. So some of the things that we encounter, if rodents or animals have been on the roof, then the rubber seals, there's a rubber boot that goes around things like your plumbing vent that passes through the attic or around the electrical mast. Quite often squirrels or rats will chew holes in these rubber seals and make their way into the attic. You know, even if you cut the tree back that allowed them to get onto the roof, or you eliminate their access to the roof, once they've chewed a hole in it, now you've got a leak. And if you don't take a look for that on a regular basis, then that damage can occur, and then you end up with moisture damage in the attic. We don't go inside the attic on a regular basis. The difficulty with getting in attics deals with the folks over at Labor and Industries. And once again, we're not roofing contractors, so we'll observe what's going on the exterior and report on that and help you, you know, direct you to a roofing contractor when we encounter damage like that. Gutters and downspouts, those are pretty obvious. You know, if with the winds that we get in Grays Harbor, it's not unusual for gutters to get torn off of the roof. But we find instances where, and this is mostly a function of corrosion. It's not so much that they're installed incorrectly, but you know, after a few years, the screws and such that hold the gutters into place can corrode, unless you've used really high quality stuff that's either epoxy coated or stainless. You know, these things will rust out in about 10, 15 years. And so we do find damaged gutters, that, have just corroded to the point where they're needing to be repaired or replaced. Downspouts are kind of a bane, of housing because, they are subject to corrosion, but they're also subject to being installed incorrectly. This is why we recommend licensed contractors, is because we find downspouts that are actually assembled backwards. So what ends up happening there is that the joints in the downspout, instead of fitting, you know, from the top down, the top portion of the downspout has to fit inside the bottom of the downspout has to fit inside the next piece. So they are assembled in a, you know, so where one piece fits inside the other as you go down the exterior of the house. And sometimes when folks make repairs, they'll get it backwards. And so water coming down the inside of the downspout, instead of being directed into the next piece below, it'll actually be directed out of the downspout. And once it's on the outside of the downspout, it will course down the exterior siding. And usually, because downspouts are typically mounted at the corners of the home, then the wood trim that's holding the downspout ends up rotting out because the moisture stays on it a much longer period of time. And the wood behind the downspout that is not exposed to sunlight or even regular maintenance for that matter, because it's, you end up having to take the downspout off to just paint it in order to maintain the downspout. So, making sure that the downspout not assembled backwards goes a long way to keeping the rot out of the corner trim.
I have a text or an email. Hi, Ed. I have about 7 ants. It's just in the morning. I have a few ants around my sink and dishwasher. They're easy to wipe up, but there are always a few. Also, we had a water inspection. It's been about a year ago, but the guy said I had ants coming in out of my hot water heater, which is on the outside edge of the building. There's no question, but I don't know. Okay. What can you do?
Well, I assume the question is, why do I have ants? Mm-hmm. I guess the first thing I would ask is, it would help if I knew if they were a client, but, assuming that they're not, the first thing to figure out is where the moisture is coming from. The first thing to figure out is which ant we're dealing with, because, moisture ants and odorous house ants are similar in size. Moisture ants will be looking for active leaks. So they're actually telling you, hey, the water's over here. Cause they'll nest in the wood that's gotten wet. Odorous house ants, on the other hand, they like high humidity. They don't like it saturated. They may also be telling you that, hey, you've got a moisture condition here, but it's usually not as severe. So that's kind of the first thing is we need to identify which ant we're dealing with and then start tracing down the source of the moisture. You know, sometimes the moisture can be cured with a dehumidifier. Other times you need to have a contractor. So, hot water tanks, you know, being against the outside of the building, that's not that unusual. It's a fairly common practice for the contractor to, you know, put the hot water tank against an outside wall because it's out of the way. You know, just depending on the design of the house, but, unless there's an active leak in the hot water tank, then, there's nothing to do there. It's, you know, once again, it's not an uncommon practice. Now, in any case, there should be a pan underneath of the hot water tank, to trap any water that comes out. Some of these, hot water tanks, well, not some of them, all hot water tanks are supposed to have a bypass valve in case they run over pressure so that you don't have an explosion. But the, there should be a pan with a drain that, that'll direct, well, first off, it'll trap any moisture that comes out of the hot water tank and then direct it into a drain or to the underside of the house so that there's not any damage done. So it's worthwhile to take a look at that tank just to make sure that you're not having, any kind of a leakage issue. But beyond that, there's really nothing else to do.
All right, it's time for our bottom of the hour break. More with Ed from Beacon Pest Control. If you have any pest questions, you can call us, you can email, you can text message. More local matters coming up. Good morning.
NBC News Radio, I'm Michael Kastner. Donald Trump does not have presidential immunity from prosecution on charges related to his alleged efforts to overturn his 2020 election loss. That's what a federal appeals court ruled today in the criminal election interference case being prosecuted by special counsel Jack Smith. Trump is expected to ask the Supreme Court to overturn the ruling. Former Solicitor General Neil Katyal says he doesn't think Trump will have any more success with the high court.
He's going to run to the Supreme Court, and my gut is, given the thoroughness and well reasoning of this opinion and the kind of ludicrous claim that Trump's advanced on the other, that he's absolutely immune from all criminal laws, I don't think the U.S. Supreme Court's going to take this.
Country music superstar Toby Keith has died. The 62-year-old died peacefully last night, surrounded by his family, according to a message posted on his social media platforms. He had been diagnosed with stomach cancer not too long ago. Michael Kastner, NBC News Radio.
Your home may be one of your biggest financial assets. With interest rates stabilizing and home prices at near record highs, we are moving closer to a balanced market with some price ranges continuing to be a seller's market. Hi, this is Travis Jelovich, owner-broker of Windermere, Aberdeen, and Ocean Shores. Work with the most knowledgeable, experienced, and trustworthy team of realtors on the harbor, specializing in residential, commercial, and land. 360-533-6464, WindermereGraceHarbor.com.
Head to Quinault Beach Resort and Casino any Monday through Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. and check out their new comfort menu. Get your choice of homestyle skillet for just $16.95. Great food at an affordable price. Quinault Beach Resort and Casino. Winners happen here.
West Haven Villa Assisted Living is dedicated to help you find the right care for your loved one. West Haven Villa promotes freedom, independence, and purpose for seniors in a safe, home-like environment. Our mission is to exceed expectations for loving, thoughtful care. Stop by and tour West Haven Villa today, or for more information about our community, visit us online at caringplaces.com.
The U.S. money supply is failing for the first time since the Great Depression.
What does that mean?
It means you need all new collectible paper money.
Paper money? Is that like the money on my phone? Like Venmo?
Exactly like it, except some stores don't take it. Collect them all. And each piece of paper money has pictures of famous Americans.
The 5 has Daniel Day-Lewis on it, and Lin-Manuel Miranda is on the 10.
For only 6 easy credit card payments of $99.99, you too can own a single, a 5, a tenner, and a 20. Order now and we'll throw in the super rare $2 bill. The perfect gift for Grandpa.
Wow, paper money is the coolest. I'm going to collect them all.
Warning, in the event of the apocalypse or government shutdown, paper money will retain no value but can be used for kindling or wiping your butt.
It's Local Matters on 94.7 Timber Country. Here's Johnny Manson.
All right, we've been talking with Ed from Beacon Pest Control about our pest problems, and I have a lot of them. You there?
Okay.
You still there?
Yes, I'm
testing
here.
One, two. Is this thing on?
Yeah.
Okay, where were we? Oh, our listener friend, he's not a client. He lives kind of on the outskirts of the area, not too close to us. But, he had that ant problem, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, check the tank, make sure it's not leaking, and, then start looking for other sources of moisture. Once again, with moisture, or excuse me, not talking in a straight line this morning.
It's all right.
With odorous house ants, the issue there is humidity over actual leaks. So sometimes that's a ventilation issue.
Now, if this was like an apartment, is this something the manager should be doing on behalf of the tenant?
I would think so.
Okay.
The tenant doesn't have any control over what's going on with the structure. They're renting the space.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know off the top of my head what the laws are about that, but I think generally speaking, that's the responsibility of the property owner. And in addition to that, they probably don't want to have the damage that's associated with the moisture. So, they're usually pretty good about maintaining the structures and taking care of the things that will do damage.
All right. So what's next?
Well, so we're talking about gutters, and of course the one thing that's attached to the gutter is the downspout, and we kind of covered some of the issues that happen with those. One of the things to watch out for is that a lot of these downspouts are now connected to drain fields that are in the ground, and that's kind of an anathema to me, because debris is going to get down the downspout, and those drains will eventually they'll be fouled. The leaves and debris will plug them to where they don't drain. You may get a number of years out of the drain field before that happens, but eventually they fail. And when they do fail, then water stops going into the soil and can actually back up into the downspout, causing the downspout to leak. And I've actually seen cases where it's so backed up that it backs up into the gutter itself, and you start getting water that's coursing over the edges of the gutter instead of going down into the ground where it belongs. When we're cleaning our downspouts, we need to make sure, if you've got those kind of drain fields on the ends of your downspouts, then you have to be sure you're not just washing debris down the, out of the gutter right down the downspout. You have to physically grab that stuff and pull it out of the gutter so that it doesn't foul the drain field. Now, when they do fail, I'm not a big fan of the drain fields, even though they're very popular with the contractors and building departments. The kind of drains that I like to see are where they actually drain away from the foundation. It's it's on a downslope, and there's the end of the downspout is open. If you're directing the water away from the house, the end of the downspout is open over, it could be a dry sump, or you could just drain it into a low spot in the yard, then that's not going to be, it's not going to get plugged by debris coming down it, because it can wash out the open end. You actually have physically moved the water away from the building. It's not in this drain field that's right there next to the foundation. So, the likelihood of water entering the crawl space as a result of that, is much lower. And, those open downspouts are less likely to be plugged.
All right. If you have any questions for Ed at Beacon Pest Control, He can hopefully answer your question. I think he can, right?
Well, I'll have an answer. Hopefully it's correct.
360-533-5259, text message or email. That's Johnny at Jodesha.com. Where are we at now?
Well, we're still on the roof, and you know, the next area of concern is the soffits. The soffits and the fascia. Those are the elements that are immediately behind the gutter, and if water is getting into those elements, they're very vulnerable to moisture damage. If they're treated wood, then they're going to hold up a lot longer, but they'll start to warp and such over time as they get moisture in them. The fascia element is the trim board that goes along the outward facing edge of the roof, and the roofing material is supposed to protect the top edge of the fascia, so you actually have shingles that you know come out and cover that. Usually there's a piece of flashing installed there so that water doesn't get behind or underneath of the shingles and into the roofing material, and then the ends of the fascia, if they extend out beyond the roof, then they need to be protected with flashing also, because that piece of wood sticking out just below the roof shingles will be the last thing to dry out. And of course, it's the first thing the water hits as it comes off the roof itself. And so it's the tips of the fascia that actually rot away first. And then, as that happens, then it can start doing damage to the support system for your gutter. And, so it's important to maintain that and make sure that it's, protected against moisture damage, especially that coming off the top of the roof. Yeah, let's see here. So a lot of our homes out in Grays Harbor have chimneys. The brick chimney is what I'm referring to, because most of your wood stoves have these little round chimneys that have good seals on them. But the brick chimney has to be properly flashed, and one of the things that we look for is moisture in the soffit area adjacent to the brick chimney. And if we discover that there's water marks or any kind of decay damage there, then you need to have a contractor take a look into that and find out why the water's getting through. Usually it's because the flashing has failed or the flashing's not properly installed. So picking that water up and making sure that it's making it into the gutter is the kind of the key element there, to make sure that you're not having damage done to the roof right there at the chimney.
All right.
Okay. So, as we get off of the roof, we get into the exterior siding. A lot of homes now are not done with wood siding anymore. The vast majority of them, they're using the hardy materials or masonry.
Ooh, I think I lost Ed. Hey, more with Ed from Beacon Pest Control coming up on Local Matters.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Can I get a weight reading on the cat in exam 3?
Zuri needs a new vet tech after their current one literally moved to a farm.
Detailed checkup is waiting.
But finding an ideal replacement takes some training.
This is like herding cats.
Indeed can help them hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Schedule virtual interviews and talk to candidates right from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Dive into a world of creativity at the Artisan Fair, happening Saturday and Sunday, February 10th and 11th at the VFW Post in Ocean Shores. Discover unique, globally sourced and Pacific Northwest products right in your backyard. Plus, join us in spreading the love through Green Lake Assisted Living's year-round gift-giving program. Adopt a resident and make a difference. Mark your calendars and join the festivities at 953 Trent Court Southeast in Ocean Shores on February 10th and 11th, the Artisan Fair.
Looking for some down-home cooking? Head to Quinault Beach Resort and Casino any Monday through Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. and check out their new Comfort Zone menu. Choose your choice of home-style skillet sliced prime rib, grilled chicken breast, beef pot pie, chicken fried steak and gravy, or charboiled steak for just $16.95. And $4 wine and dessert. Your choice of strawberry shortcake or a sundae. Great food at an affordable price? Now that's comforting. Quinault Beach Resort and Casino in Ocean Shores. Winners happen here.
McHugh's Furniture is packed. The store is stacked. It's all got to go, and that's a fact. Now, during our inventory reduction sale, it's all got to go and savings bigger than you ever thought possible. Every 2023 living room and dining room is 20 to 50% off. Every 2023 bedroom and mattress is 20 to 50% off. McHugh's reduced prices to make it all go away. 20 to 50% off, plus no interest for 3 years during McHugh's Furniture's inventory reduction sale. Going on now.
Hi, everybody. I'm Kristen Chenoweth. When our servicemen and women return from war, they often carry wounds that the rest of us cannot see. Up to 1 in 5 veterans who served in Iraq and Afghanistan are diagnosed with post-traumatic stress. And often, even the best treatment, including medication and therapy, they fall short. Sadly, more than 6,000 veterans die every year from suicide. Thanks to the life-saving power of the human-animal bond, professionally trained service dogs can help. But connecting a veteran with a well-trained service dog can be difficult. Waitlists are long and training can cost tens of thousands of dollars. But service dogs can bring healing. If you're a veteran or know a veteran struggling with post-traumatic stress or traumatic brain injury, please go to AmericanHumane.org to learn about their Pups for Patriots program, which provides dogs to veterans for free of charge. Let's help our veterans heal from the invisible wounds of war.
Well, it's 8:46. We've been talking with Ed from Beacon Pest Control, and we got our wires crossed. So for right now, it's you and I. I got a text message, or it was an email. It all comes through my phone, you know. But hold on here. Yeah, great show, right? Excellent information from Ed at Beacon Pest Control. All right, good stuff. Excuse me, 360-533-5259. Ed, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm back. Yes.
Okay, thank you, sir.
I apparently lost my connection.
No worries. Okay, so yeah, I just got an email saying excellent information from Ed at Beacon Pest Control. Nice.
Fortunately, somebody's enjoying this.
Yeah, somebody's listening. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So can you kind of reiterate whereabouts where we got disconnected, the information you were sharing?
Okay. So, I was talking about storm doors at the time. And, the advantage of a storm door is that it actually moves the source of leakage to the edge of the threshold on the outside. So, you don't have water accumulating at the bottom corners of your entry door. And, that of course is where, you get the moisture into the subfloor that can damage the floor and the entryway. So big fan of storm doors.
Okay. Cool.
Beyond that, when we, while we're talking about doors, the garage doors, the overhead doors, we're looking, you know, first and foremost to make sure that they're rodent proof. Quite often the plastic seal that's on the bottom of the door, if the door is not compressing that seal sufficiently, then rodents will chew the edges off of it and go straight into the garage. Of course, once they're in there, they like to get into the car and any other belongings that you have there. But the car is the expensive thing in the garage that they like to chew on the wiring and get into the air conditioning system. So making sure that that seal is intact is important. And then it's not so much that it's going to prevent water from getting in. That seal is to essentially stops airflow, but it's quite vulnerable to rodents chewing on it. So sometimes you need to have an overhead door contractor adjust that door down to where you know it's compressed within a quarter of an inch, so that there's not a space there that rodents would find attractive, and they're less likely to challenge it if it's properly compressed. In some instances, we've actually had to recommend that those seals be completely removed so that the door can be properly set, because the seal is just too thick and actually ends up holding the door open. So sometimes there's modifications that have to be made, even though all the factory equipment is there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one for your contractor. They can sort that out. Of course, we're always looking for moisture damage around windows. We don't generally go onto the inside of our clients' homes simply because they live there. You know, they're going to be much more aware of what's going on the inside of the house. So, it's the things that we discover on the outside that they're not aware of. We do look for things like missing window screens. You know, we do have a mosquito population and other flying insects in Grays Harbor, and you know, those screens are your first line of defense. And we do have some things like for whatever reason, seagulls will do a number on the on the screens if they got a perch where they can just sit there and mess with them. You know, by and large, making sure that those screens are intact and actually installed. Especially during the summertime, those go a long way towards keeping the insects out. We're also concerned about the decks that are put on homes. A lot of homes have decks that are so close to the ground that you can't physically get under them to inspect them. And when they're that close to the ground, it's a very attractive area for animals like raccoons, because they will get underneath of these decks in order to hide from predators. And you know, they'll build their dens underneath the decks. And once again, it's particularly raccoons, and all of the communities that we have here in Grays Harbor have a raccoon problem, whether they know it or not. The raccoons are there, you know, if they're encouraged to live underneath the deck, then you're eventually are going to have that problem. They'll be down there trying to have their babies, and quite often they'll dig into the crawl space. So one of the things that makes these low decks attractive is if you skirt your deck and with this lattice work that's fairly common, it makes it a more secluded area. And one of the ways that you can make it less attractive is to not skirt the deck. If you open it up, let the daylight in, make it accessible to, you know, to these animals, predators, then they're less likely to nest in those areas and go find themselves someplace where they belong, you know, in the woods and the surrounding green belts. We've had on occasion to remove raccoons from crawl spaces. In fact, we spend a lot of the winter time going in and and making repairs so that we can get these animals out before they have babies. Usually it's foundation vents, and it, almost without exception, it's the vents underneath the deck that go first. Part of the reason for that is that the galvanizing that they put on the wire mesh is a very, very thin coat, and so after 8 or 10 years at the beach, it's just rust holding hands. And so if you've got a raccoon living underneath the deck, they just knock they knock that right out and make their way into the crawl space to have their young. And so wintertime is an easier time for us to get those guys out than after they've got babies, because once they've got babies, then we have to round them up and take them outside and have them relocate, because we're not allowed to haul them off the property and take them somewhere else.
Where do you take them?
We release them on the property. The mother will usually return for them. We don't euthanize the animals simply because there's another raccoon there. You know, if you don't fix the problem, then it doesn't matter what we do with the animal that's living there. There's another one there waiting to move in.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, state of Washington requires that if you're going to relocate, you have to go through a whole environmental impact study, and they don't even talk to you about relocating raccoons.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like relocating squirrels. They don't want you doing that either.
Right.
So,
all right.
So relocation doesn't generally work for animals like raccoons, because the area that you move them to, if it's good for them, then it's already got an occupant, and the only thing you're doing is creating an opportunity for them to starve or have to fight their way into the local environment. So it's a disruptive process that isn't good for either animal. Like I said, we don't euthanize them because that doesn't solve the problem. It just it just makes it possible for the next one to move in.
All right. Good stuff.
So,
about five more minutes.
So, okay. The other thing that we're looking for on decks is the deck is usually the last thing that's installed before the yard is graded. And, we're still building decks out of wood, even though a lot of it's pressure treated. The reality is that the support posts that hold the deck up, those are placed on concrete pads, and quite often those pads get buried during the regrading process as they put the final grade on the property. The difficulty with that is that pressure treated wood is good for extending the life of wood. The pressure treating will give you, as much as 30 years, but eventually the dimensional timbers, so things like the 4x4s or 4x6s that are used to support the decks, they have a hollow core, or I should say they have a core that doesn't get pressure treated. Your pressure treatment is just an envelope. It's about 0.4 inches is the industry standard. And that envelope, once it's, once the lumber is sawn, then there's that core down the middle that has no pressure treatment in it. And even if it's not a saw cut, if the contractor is diligent and treats the end of the cut, eventually the wood will split. As it dries and it shrinks, it will split and moisture can get to the interior of the wood. So if these things are buried, they're at a much, much greater risk they're at a much greater risk for decay fungus, and they will rot a whole lot faster than if they're kept clear of the ground and on the top of those concrete pads, so that they're not getting that soil moisture 24/7.
Remember storm windows, where we used to just staple up plastic over our windows? Do people do that anymore?
They still sell the product, so I'm going to guess that people still do it. We don't encounter that because most of that's installed on the interior.
Yeah.
I don't see with double pane vinyl windows, I'm not seeing a lot of storm windows as such. Even on mobile homes, the vinyl window seems to have eliminated the storm window. by and large.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah,
I remember we used to do that way back, like in the 80s. We used to just staple up clear plastic.
Well, back in the 80s, there were still a lot of homes with single-pane windows, and that generation of double-pane window had aluminum, had an aluminum frame. Mm-hmm. You know, the vinyl frame hadn't really become popular, and the aluminum frames were more likely to have air leakage. You had a lot better reason for using a plastic film to trap the air on the outside, so that it wasn't just blowing past the seals on the aluminum frame. Those are the elements that we look for predominantly on the exterior of the building. I know in the past we've talked significantly about getting into the crawl space. The crawl space area is a very attractive area for animals to want to get into. So the primary things that we're looking for on the crawl space are the foundation vents to make sure that they're intact, so you don't get those raccoons living in there. The access door, the vast majority of homes in Grays Harbor have a door on the exterior they have an opening on the exterior, and you can get some fairly large animals in there. Contractors often will put a difficult to make that animal proof. So, the only effective way that we've come up with is to frame out the opening for the crawl space access and actually install a door panel there.